Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a real thrill right now to head out to the hotline. Welcome in a NBA champion, did play with the Dallas Mavericks, also had other stops with the Hawks, the Celtics, the Nets, the Rockets, and the Bucks, and is now returning to his alma mater as an assistant coach at Arizona, and that's Jason Terry here with us on the show. Jet, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on tonight.
No problem. Really do appreciate you coming on. So take me through the decision-making progress, process to go back to your alma mater. Why did this intrigue you, and why did you want to get involved in coaching in college?
Well, for me, I've always had a passion for coaching, and not only coaching, but impacting lives. And so throughout my career in the league, I played 19 seasons, and in those 12 seasons, in the offseason, I spent a lot of time coaching AAU grassroots basketball on the women's side. So getting used to that process, recruiting and what have you, I figured, man, at some point when I finish, when I retire, I believe I want to walk the sidelines as a coach, whatever level, Division I men's or women's. But I knew it was at the college level because I thought I can have a tremendous impact on young men or women in their journeys in life as they get ready and prepared for the rest of their lives. And so talked to Sean Miller last year early, he and Jack Murphy, the associate head coach, and expressed my interest at possibly joining their staff at some time or another. They were thrilled. They were excited. They said they didn't have a spot at the time, but maybe in the spring something might open up. And this spring came around quicker than I thought. And, I was an assistant general manager with the Texas Legends, having a great time there, dealing with those young G League guys with aspirations of trying to become NBA players. And then when the spring rolled around, man, I got the phone call. And, for me, it's a dream come true to be able to go back to my alma mater, obviously a place where I went from a boy to a man. Coach Lute Olson and staff did a great job with me and harboring that process in my life. And now I have the opportunity to do the same thing for some young men that come through the program in the future.
And it's such a difficult time with all that's going on in the world to take over and be an assistant coach, and you're trying to build chemistry, and we have real-life issues going on in the middle of a pandemic, and also with what happened with the murder of George Floyd. What have the conversations been like with your players during all this, Jason?
Well, the conversation has been great. It's been open dialogue. A lot of talk has been centered around, using your platform, but being smart and being strategic as you broadcast to the masses and put out that message, whatever that message is, whatever's deep within your heart, right? And obviously, equality and justice for all is something that we all strive for, and it's something that, to our players, to a man, they expressed to us is that something that they wanted to fight for and that they would be on the front lines and we would have their backs. And so, in those conversations, I know we talk a lot about social media and technology and where it's gone now, it's old school guys, but to be going through a pandemic and have the accessibility to be able to talk to our guys on a Zoom call, when we have five or six international guys, we have a couple of grad transfers coming in, and then we have guys that are returning, to be able to get those guys on the call so we can see each other. We can't physically be with each other, but we can see each other, hear each other's voices, and be able to talk in a time of need right now when we need each other and that support system. It's just been phenomenal for us. So, we've on calls once, even twice a week for the last month now since I've joined the staff, and it's been very productive.
Jason Terry, the Jet, here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Your end goal in coaching, and I know you're assistant right now. It's a new job being at Arizona. Do you want to become a head coach one day, Jason?
Oh, definitely. I mean, definitely head coach at the NBA or college level is something that I love to do. But right now, I'm solely focused on learning the craft, ins and outs of college basketball. And Sean Miller is doing a great job of mentoring me and tutoring me and getting me on that path as I, you know, aspire to be a head coach one day down the road. I think in the immediate, we want to bring a national championship to the University of Arizona. I mean, that is what, you know, our goal is, and we're focused in on that mission to a man. So I'm excited, man. Recruiting has been fun for me. It's something I do naturally. Obviously, like I said, my background being in grassroots, understanding the AAU landscape, understanding what college coaches want to hear, and then, you know, the side of me being the assistant general manager, my ability to evaluate and analyze talent and to see guys' skill sets and where they can help us and fit within our system has been great, man. And I'm just having a blast doing it.
When in your career did you realize that maybe one day you want to be a coach?
Probably when Avery Johnson took over as the coach with the Dallas Mavericks. It was in my first season with the Mavs, and halfway through, Nelly said, okay, guys, bring it in. And he was like, one, two, three, it's Avery's team. And we all looked like, oh, my God, he just – it's over? Yeah, he just resigned on the spot, and Avery Johnson took over. And, you know, once he took over, he really took it upon himself to become my mentor and guide as I navigated trying to learn how to become a professional and be a point guard and be a father and be a husband. And so he mentored me in all phases of my life. And at that particular time, for a coach – to be going through what he was going through as he became a new head coach in our league with all that responsibility, but to take the time out of his, you know, out of his job and to mentor a kid that, you know, was in his fourth season. I mean, it spoke volumes. And again, he's been a guiding light in my life. And so I've always looked up to him and leaned on him in certain situations. I say, hey man, I want to be like him one day and have the same opportunity to impact lives the way he did for me.
And you were at Dallas for a long time, as Jason Terry's here with us, from 2004 to 2012. You guys got to that championship. You lost to the Heat. And then you also, at a different team, you know, for both teams, faced the Heat again. And that was the time really no one was giving you a shot with LeBron and Wade and Bosch. And you guys were able to win that championship. What's the memory of that team still to this day when you look back at that championship team?
I got to believe the last memory for me is all the unique stories of the individuals that, you know, guys that I feel in my eyes are Hall of Famers. I mean, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler, even a guy like Peja Stojakovic. You know, those guys had opportunities on good teams to win a championship, and they couldn't get it done. And for us, on that journey and that particular ride, I think the power of team and one goal, one mission was so strong, and we believed in each other so wholeheartedly that we would not let that opportunity pass. And we were able to, you know, bring home that championship. And obviously the city of Dallas, Mark Cuban ownership, management, you know, to a man, we just were so locked in because we knew, you know, 05, 06, the one that got away, right? You always remember the one that got away, and that still hurts to this day. But we knew if we had another opportunity, which we did, and we were fortunate, that we would not let that opportunity slip.
Give me your favorite Mark Cuban and Dirk Nowitzki story.
Oh, my God. I think we lost 05, 06. I mean, guys were dejected. I got a random text, like, in the middle of the night. My wife's looking at my phone like, excuse me, it's like 2 a.m. Who's texting? I said, it said, meet at the Jet. And I said, it's Mark. She said, oh, my God, you better hurry up and get there. It must be urgent. We get to the Jet. Dirk's already on the plane. He got a couple of his buddies with him. And we have no clothes or nothing. We just like, okay, what's going on? He said, man, we're going to Vegas, man. We got to get away. We got to talk about the future of the team and the franchise.
Wow.
And let's go unwind. And I said, wow. Like, that's never happened. First of all, I had never flown on a private jet. Second of all, I mean, the owner is like, man, let's talk about the future. And that really had me excited, man, about, you know, being a Maverick and how much it meant to Mark to really try to win and bring home a championship.
That's crazy. That's why. Yeah. How was the trip in Vegas? I have to imagine fun, right?
Hey, I wish if the walls could talk, I could tell you. But, I mean, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. But we had a great time, man. It was nothing malicious. Just a bunch of guys talking basketball, enjoying themselves, and we had a good time, man. It was good because you got to bond. You know, when you're on a team and your owner is just as bought in with the sweat equity as the guys that are playing, I mean, it means that much more to you. And I think Mark has been like that since day one, since he's taken over, and he hasn't wavered yet.
Talking to Jason Terry right now for a few more minutes. Dirk, what's the favorite Dirk story?
Probably just Dirk's, you know, his human, I'm sorry, his sense of humor. He's just crazy, man. Like one night he's going out, he's killing, he got about 35, we lose, and he gets in the locker room and he's like, yeah, man, only if the burgers would have showed up. So we're like, damn, burgers. So you just called us. We're like, cheeseburgers. Like, I mean, who eats those anyway? And that's what you're calling us? Like, we're your role players, we're your guys. But he's like, man, those burgers didn't show up today. So, you know, he always had funny little nicknames he would call the other guys. You know, I mean, Barkley or somebody says the others. Well, that was us. That was the role players. And Dirk would call us burgers. So that was crazy.
You also got to play with Vince Carter. Vince just elected to hang him up after a crazy career playing in four different decades. When I say Vince Carter to you, what are the memories that come back to mind?
Well, I mean, the one of the best memories of my life, and it goes back, he and I's rivalry started back in college. In 97, first preseason game, we played Carolina in the Hall of Fame Classic. We beat them then. And then we ended up playing them in the Final Four, in the semifinal game,
yeah.
And we beat them again. So I always tell Vince, man, I'm undefeated against you, brother. And then I had the joy of playing with him. And, you know, to watch a guy like Vince with all the pressure that he had, right, to be great and to be able to perform at a high level when it was his team, and then to play with him when he had to take a lesser role, but he was so selfless. And he could have wanted more shots and demanded the ball. But he understood, look, this is Dirk's team. I got other guys around me. And he played his role, man. And to see a guy humble himself when he was obviously elite Hall of Famer at the, you know, towards the end of his career, I mean, it spoke volumes about the professionalism that he has and about his core values. And so, you know, he'll go down as a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest players to ever play our game. And I'm just proud to say he was my teammate.
It's a shame he never got a championship because he definitely deserved
a
championship.
No
you played with James Harden too, and for James, he's a great regular season player but has had a lot of shortcomings in the postseason. Do you still believe that James can one day win a championship and turn around some of these misfortunes that he's been having in the playoffs?
No doubt about it. And the thing, you know, for me in my last 4 years in the league, which I've grown to appreciate, is I was there with James Harden as he took the next step, right? My first year in Houston, we went to the Western Conference Finals with me as the point guard. And I was like, man, I ain't played point guard since 2006. And it was like watching him develop, watching his study habits, watching his work ethic, knowing that, like, this kid is unstoppable. He can make every pass on the floor. He can ISO and get any shot off that he wants, any strategic, because he can get to the free throw line and draw fouls, right? And so just watching that skill set and how it relates to the game, the way it's played today, it's like he's a dominant force. I mean, what he's done in the last 4 or 5 years, a run like this, only guys like Jordan, maybe Allen Iverson, are guys that I think about that have really impacted the game the way he has on the offensive end. And for me, I got to believe if they put the right pieces around James, he will win an NBA championship before he retires because I know his work ethic. The other guy is Giannis Antetokounmpo. My last 2 years, I watched him, his growth, his development, his hunger to be great. Giannis embodies Kevin Garnett, the intensity and the passion of which he plays, the work ethic of Dirk Nowitzki, and then just the raw, just freakish, unstoppable nature of like a Wilt Chamberlain. Like, he's 7 feet. He goes in the end in 3 dribbles. He's just amazing, man. And just to know that the first memory I have of Giannis is when he showed me his phone in the locker room one day. I looked at his phone. On the screensaver of his phone was the NBA championship trophy, the Larry O'Brien trophy. And I knew then, I said, man, this kid is special. Because kids at that age in this league, they're thinking about contract. They're thinking about all-star games. It's nothing to do about winning the championship. And his screensaver was a trophy. So, I mean, those two guys, I got to believe at some point before they retire are definitely going to win a championship.
Do you think he wins a championship this year?
you know what? This year is just so much intrigue. It's so much that we don't know, right? The uncertainty. But if I had to choose, I mean, the Lakers are built to win it because, you know, you got LeBron. He has the experience, and he has, you know, a co-star with him, Anthony Davis. And he got a great coaching staff. Jason Kidd's on that staff. They have a lot of experience. Clippers are tough. I can't say Giannis won't win it, but this is set up for a surprise. Like, the team you think's going to win coming out of this is not going to be the team. It's going to be a dark horse team like a Milwaukee, a team that's young, that's hungry, and that the advantage is their youth. I mean, you look at their roster, I mean, they're young, but they do have some good vets, and we just don't know how this thing shake up. I'm excited because I haven't watched NBA basketball. All I'm watching is old replays, right? But now we finally get to see this NBA season come to an end, and it's going to be exciting.
You played with Jason Kidd. You played against Jason Kidd, and you also played for Jason Kidd at the end of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
What was it like playing for Jason Kidd as the coach when you used to play with him and won a championship with him?
Man, it was like playing with your big brother. Like, honestly, Jason Kidd and I's relationship goes far beyond the court. I mean, you're talking about late night sessions, talking about life, family, kids, what have you. And then as far as his coaching style, I mean, he really mentored me as well later on in my career when I expressed to him what I wanted to do with my career. You know, I told him I wanted to be a coach. He said, well, if you want to coach, I want you in every film session. I want you in every coaches meeting. And then I still want you to practice with the guys and get out there. And then I want you late at night when they come back to the gym, and I want you to run some what we call night school. And that's where guys would come back. They would get their skill development in. They may watch film, but they would also get some good workout in on the court. And this was during the season. And it was something that Dirk and I had started in Dallas, and he kind of made me the leader of that once we had got to Milwaukee. And so for me, man, I got to give him tons of credit for, you know, just guiding me along this process as well. But it is truly a brothership. And, you know, he's a guy that I talk to once or twice a week.
Jason Terry, I got about a minute left. Tell me the story how you got a certain tattoo the year before you won the championship.
Well, man, you know, it's history now, but for me, it was just a firm belief in the crew that had been assembled. Got to give credit to Donnie Jr., Cuban, for bringing in a guy like Tyson Chandler, you know, who was a veteran at the time, had one defensive player of the year, but was still hungry for more, wanted to be a champion. Sean Marion, even Caron Butler was a huge piece on that particular team. But
they
we all were
too,
at Tom
yeah.
Stevenson's house, yeah, in the preseason. And, you know, we're all talking basketball, talking about what we're going to do, how the season's going to play out. And then we hear a knock on the door, and we look, and it was a tattoo artist. Deshaun's like, yeah, this is my boy, man. He does tattoos. Man, y'all go get whatever you want. Well, we have been talking ball all night, and I'm like, man, I really believe this. I don't know if anybody else does, but I do. So I go back there, I get my tattoo, but I don't unveil it until the next day in shoot-around. So as soon as I unveiled it in shoot-around at the end, we bring it in. It's like, one, two, three, bring it in. I'm like, hold up, I got something. And I lift my shirt back, and it's the tattoo. The ink's still drying on the Larry O'Brien trophy, man. And the guys just start laughing, chuckling, you know, joking. But I was dead serious. I meant it, and you know, sometimes you have to speak it into existence. I'm a God-fearing man, and, you know, God took care of me on that one.
What happens if you didn't win the championship? Would you get it removed?
You know what? I got a Celtic tattoo with the Larry O'Brien trophy as well, and it's still on my left bicep. So one of those things, man, I don't like covering it up. I don't like, you know, it hurt putting it on. I can only imagine if I had to take this thing off.
Jason, good luck. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.